stand and turn to page 52.
This evening.
I know as we were singing that, and I changed a word there. I says, I know you'll be there when I kneel in prayer. My hope is different. My hope is different in the promise of Christ and our Lord. But as we get ready to go into prayer this evening, I'm going to ask each and every one of you, right before we pray, I want you to think of something that the Lord's blessed you with, either last night or this morning or today. Knowing His blessings are new and renewed every day. His love is just new constantly. It's the same love that He's promised from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But I want us to put the blessings in our mind. We're going to pray about the needs. We know there are those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that have lost loved ones. We know we need to be strengthened through this time and day. And as the messages have been so powerful going forth, we know that the good Lord's in control. And as we just think about each and everything, but I want us to think about a blessing. You may have 10 of them in the last 5 minutes, but just whatever the God puts into your heart, as we go to Him in prayer this evening, I just want you to think about something the Lord's blessed you with today. And also, if you have a prayer request this evening, and God knows our heart, just show by the raising of your hand, just a confirmation of faith that God knows what we need and when we need it. Dear Lord, we just praise You this evening. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Dear Lord, as we come to You now with just thanksgiving and praise, dear Lord, as we think of those things that You've blessed us with, just even this, just today alone, dear Lord, just bless us with another beautiful day, another breath of fresh air that You've given us. Dear Lord, an opportunity we have to gather together. Even those watching on this live feed, whenever you have an opportunity to watch it, think of the blessings that God's given you. And dear Lord, as we reach out to people, to us, dear Lord, we ask now that Your Spirit just take over this service. Lord, may the Holy Ghost have a free reign amongst each and every one of us. Lord, we thank You for our visitors. We thank You for those in attendance. And dear Lord, but we just thank You for this day. We thank You for Your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, You see the hands that were raised. Dear Lord, You know those that are sick and shut in. Those in the nursing homes, dear Lord. Those in assisted living. Lord, those that are going through therapy at this time. Lord, each and every one has a prayer request, and we're praying for them. Dear Lord, You are the healer. You are the comforter. And dear Lord, You are the Almighty God, dear Lord. And we just give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We just love each and every one of you. Just really excited about this evening service. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering so we can start calling on our special singers this evening. And we're so blessed with the talent. I say this many, many times, but I mean it from my heart. The talent God has just blessed us with in our church. I was talking to someone that goes to a much larger in number church. We're still large in His Spirit in all that we do. And they were saying that they have to put in ads and look for talent to help them. And I said, well, God just keeps sending them to us. And I said, I'm not giving you any names and numbers. Just praise God. We love each and every one of you. We're excited. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering this evening, please? Yes, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Do a song for us. And then Sister Nikki, if you'd prepare after her.
Praise the Lord.
How many of you know that you've been born again?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I hear me good. I hope you do too. It's such a wonderful blessing, such a wonderful joy. You think about the blessings that we have, and you can't help but think, the first thing that comes to my mind is that God saved me. God saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, and He put me on my way to heaven, right where He is. And I am so thankful of that. So y'all worship the Lord as I sing an old song. It says, Child of the King, be flat.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, God with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, He took me.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail.
Say this song is kind of different, but it's as a sermon that's happening and it's starting to happen, and we're looking up. If you're a Christian, you know just by looking around that signs of the time are everywhere. Christ's return is near, and I'm just glad that I know Him.
Yes.
I'm glad that He knows me. He knows it all. Nothing surprises Him. Go ahead, sister. Just listen to the words of the song. Praise God.
Once more, the writing on the wall is just too great to be ignored. Floods and earthquakes everywhere, violence plagues our land. The last days are upon us, Christ coming is at hand.
Where would you be when Jesus come back?
to Father time won't stop or change God's plans. The prophecies have been fulfilled. He's coming back again.
Small as I am, I figured that's our only song we do together, so.
Yeah. Aren't you glad He loves us? Small as we are, amen. We may think we're little and, you know, just not worth very much. But, amen, He loves us anyway. Picks us up out of the miry pit of clay. How many can relate to that? Amen. Can I ask the choir, all the choir members that are here tonight, to come up and just like we rehearsed it. Gee. They have no idea. But aren't they sweet and obedient and precious? Amen. This is my backup group. You know, I mentioned this morning that, I think I mentioned that about 3:30 this morning, I woke up. I thought it was just because I couldn't sleep and because I couldn't breathe good because of my sinuses. I found out later that God doesn't sleep. And He wanted to talk. So about 2 hours later, I was still just kind of meditating on the Word of the Lord. And it made me think of this song I was thinking of it a little while ago. We used to sing this at the Rockmart Church. Glory, 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 somebody.
Amen.
Words will release. Pins and needles now every time I get up, huh? I thought that went pretty well, though. They did really, really good. They made us sound good. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. So good to have each and every one of you. It's just just wonderful, man, that we can still meet together and worship and praise the Lord. Passed so many churches with the doors closed tonight, and I told Penny, I said, isn't it a blessing that we can come into the house of the Lord and still worship and praise the Lord? The Bible says as many as two or three are gathered together. Amen. He'll be there too, and he'll be in our midst. Brother Tony's going to be preaching for us tonight. I love this young man. I appreciate him. I appreciate the life he lives. I appreciate him for fathering three wonderful grandchildren that we're so blessed to have. And he's just one of the finest neighbors that I have on the right side. Amen. So, Brother Tony, come take your liberty in the Lord tonight. Just share with us what the Lord has laid on your heart. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We'll be starting off in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 23 says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Brother Eddie, would you mind saying a prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for the grace and mercy, the abundant love. Thank you, Lord, for the man of God who stands tonight and pray the word. Father, I pray that you would anoint his lips. God, I pray, God, that you would anoint his spirit. God, that I pray, Lord,
amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Last Sunday night, we were here in church, and Sister Jennifer started singing a song. When she started singing the song, I just started feeling, I don't know what it was. Sometimes you just hear it. Man, it just sticks with you, and you can't get rid of it. You can't get away from it. And that's what happened. She sang the song, I believe it's Your Cries Have Awoken the Master. I think that's what the name of the song is. But I was just sitting, I was listening to it, and I got thinking about God and what He's done for us, and what I see going on in this world today, and what I see happening. And a lot of what I see happening is fear taking over everybody everywhere, fear and panic. But fear has just stuck in my mind time and time and time and time again this week. Every time I look, every time I talk to someone, it's like fear has struck someone else, fear has struck someone else. Whether it's the virus that's going around, whether it's cancer, whether it's sickness, whatever it is, it's like fear has just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Well, I've always been one that's had faith and be like, well, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to trust Him. And then something hits and something else will hit and something else will hit. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you want to have yourself tested, make the statement you're going to stand for God. Let Brother Eddie ask you if you want to preach on a Sunday night and see the devil start messing with you and start attacking you and start tearing stuff down, not necessarily in myself, but watching in others. And Sister Jennifer was reading, singing that song last night. This is what stuck in my head, is this few verses. And I'll read it again in 23. It says, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. You know, it's easy to follow Jesus when everything's going good. When everything's fine, everything's going right. But what if we knew what was going to happen in our lives? Would he still follow him? If he said, if you'll follow me, I'm going to take you through some rough times, but I'm going to carry you through them. What I don't carry, keep you from, I'll keep you through. Now, it sounds good when he says that. It sounds good if God would come and just tell us that and tell you, don't worry, I got you. But when you start going through the trials and the troubles, that's when I start wondering how much I really am following him. Because as I was reading this, I've read these verses, and I've read them 4, 5, 6 times. You just keep reading stuff, or I do, because I'm like, all right, Lord, are you trying to show me something else, or are we going to go somewhere else? And I read it. And I was sitting there before I got up, and this verse just hit me. When he entered the ship, his disciples followed him. It's easy to think that you just follow Christ, but these people got up, they moved from everything. He said, follow me. And this is not real far into them following him when this happens. So they followed Christ into the ship. And when they followed him, they didn't know what was going on. As far as they're concerned, everything's going to be fine. They're going to sail out to sea. They may go somewhere. They're going to listen to him preach, teach, whatever it is he wants to do, and they'll just follow around with him. But you see, when they got in the ship, they didn't know what was going to come their way. And I've asked God to come into my life years and years ago, and I've tried my best to live for Him, and I fail Him more and more and more every single day. If He went on merit, I would have lost everything. But praise God, He don't go by that. He don't go by how good of a person I am. Like our brother preached last Sunday night, he said, "There ain't none of us good enough for God's grace. There ain't none of us good enough. No matter how much we do, how righteous we think we are, because we do sometimes get on our little righteous horse and we ride around. But there ain't none of us righteous enough for God, for His grace." So they followed Christ. And I get thinking about these people that have been following God for a while now. People that have taught me since I was a kid about following God. We read on to verse 24 and it says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep." The disciples didn't know this was going to happen when they got in the boat with him. They figured everything was going to be fine. Well, we get up every day figuring everything's going to be fine with our life. Why? Because we're creatures of habit. I'm a creature of routine. Routine every day is the same thing. When I get up, I start the coffee, then I sit down, I read a chapter. If Karen hadn't got up yet, since school started back, if she hadn't got up yet, I'll try to doze for a couple minutes till she comes in there. Get a shower, try to help her with the kids' lunches. I mean, it's the same thing I try to do every day. I love the routine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say there's nothing bad with it. I love being able to get up and help get the kids up in the morning and see them. Some mornings are better than others when you do that, but I enjoy being able to get to be with them. But we become creatures of habit. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what's going to happen. We've already got it made up in our mind. But what happens when that's not the case? What happens when something throws us a curveball? What happens when something happens that we're not used to? When something happens that we don't think should be happening? And not only does it happen, it keeps happening, it keeps happening, it keeps happening, it keeps happening. What made me think of all this, I guess, is my Uncle Terry. Because I grew up with Uncle Terry in church, listening to him preach, listening to him teach. We've kind of had a close family. My mother's side of the family's real big, but it's always been close. They've always come over to my mom and dad's and hung out. But to see Uncle Terry got this virus and Aunt Connie got it, then Uncle Terry had these blood clots, then Uncle Terry had these surgeries, and then now they've cut, from what I understand, every toe off his left foot, big toe off right foot. He's at I think it's Bremen Hospital right now. It's like a rehab. He's going there for rehab. Well, my dad's telling me when he was leaving to come to church, they got a call that said his feet were infected right now. So it seems like whenever he felt like something was coming and he was getting over it, something come again. And it felt like when he's getting over it, something come again. And when he's getting over it, something's coming again. But I'm here to tell you in life that that's what it's about being a Christian. The devil's going to come at you with everything he's got because he don't have much longer. So he sees his time as shorter, and he's going to do all he can because he's going to try to break you down and tear you away from the Word of God. Because he don't care if you're out being, and what I say is a devil worshiper, as long as he's got you from serving and worshiping and glorifying God, then he's got you where he wants you because he's slowly pulling you away. And the way the devil gets us is in our mind. If he can get in our mind, then he can destroy who we are. And if you don't believe that, look into depression, look into anxiety, look at the struggles people are facing these days, more now than you've ever heard. There's people everywhere now that are just panicked and got fear in their lives because of this virus. I've talked to a couple nurses that we know, and they said it just affects everybody differently. Some people have just had headaches, some people just had no taste, and some people have lost their lives from it. They said they just don't know how to act. But it's like something just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. Uncle Terry and Aunt Connie have been on my mind a lot. They've been on my heart. We got the opportunity to see Aunt Connie for a few minutes yesterday. It was nice to hear her and my mom out on the porch talking and cutting up a little bit like they used to, because I know they've been facing a lot. And I know they've been going through a lot. And I'm not telling you this to tell you that we're in a story of defeat right now, because we're not, because I know the God we serve. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes in life it feels like you just get beat down and beat down and beat down and beat down. And then when it seems like you can't take no more, it's like the devil comes a little bit harder, because he says, "Well, if I've almost got you beat down and I hit you a little more, then I know you're going to give up and I know you're going to quit and I know you're going to stop." But that's what we're here for, because it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." We're here to lift our brothers and our sisters up. This thing is choking me. But we're here to lift each other up. We're here to be there for each other. Uncle Terry's, he actually called me just for a couple minutes last night and got to talk to him. So good to hear him. But talking to Bud and Aunt Connie yesterday, Uncle Terry says he knows he's got a testimony. He knows he's got a testimony. You hear him say he knows he's got a testimony yesterday, and then the devil tries to throw something else today. And I'm here to tell you that we ain't going to quit praying for Uncle Terry. We ain't going to stop. We're not going to slow down. We're just going to go forward. You know why? Because the devil's going to keep coming until we make a stand, until we stand up and say, I'm about sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to stand for him no more. I'm not going to just let him beat me. I'm not going to let him steal my joy, because that's exactly what we're doing. When he takes our joy, when he takes our happiness, when he takes our life, that's what we do. We give it to him because we feel we can't take no more. And I know it hurts, and I know he's had a long road ahead of him, and I know he's struggled. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Everybody knows the story about Saul, or about Paul, when Paul was his conversion. Everybody know he was sent. He was out to imprison Christians to kill them. That was his job. That's what he was going to do. That's what he was sent to do. He was good at what he'd done. Everybody knows there's God. Well, the light shined around, God struck him down, and God talked to him. Well, he went on down. He was sitting in the place. He was blind. God told Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go see Saul. Ananias said, Lord, he's sent here to kill Christians, and I don't know if you've checked it or not. Last I checked, I was a Christian, and here you are trying to send me to go pray for this man. You know, because sometimes we think we know better than God does. Sometimes we think that God really hadn't thought all this out when he tells us, so we have to double check and make sure he knows what he's talking about. I've done the same thing myself. Lord, are you sure you really want me to go do this? I don't really know this person. You want me to go? He told him, Ananias, in verse 15, 9 and 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now that's not the part I want to look at. I want to look at verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, we felt back in the Bible days it was a little different. God just blessed them, did all these great things for them, and we don't see these things these days. We have to go through things they've never faced, things they've never been through, things that they just couldn't understand. Well, as I was younger, I loved David. I still love David. But as I've got older, I've learned to appreciate Paul a lot more than I used to. Because David was a man after God's own heart, and who don't want to be like him? But as I got older, I got reading about Saul and about Paul and about how God's changed his life. All right, well, if you'll go to 2 Corinthians, I believe we're going to start with verse 24. This is Paul speaking. It says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. So five times he's received 39 stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. He was lost at sea. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul was a man of God. Paul went through some struggles in his life. You see, there's some people that may say, well, Paul deserved that because of what he did before he was transformed into Paul, before he met Christ. Well, if that's the case, then every one of us should be beaten every single day of our lives. Because before I met him, I was a wretch. I was not a good person. I was not a great person before God came into my life. But thank God that he doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me what he gives me, what he wants me to have, because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy. But you see in 2 Corinthians what all Paul went through, and that really stuck out to me because I feel like I shouldn't go through as much stuff as I go through, and I haven't been through near as much stuff as Uncle Terry and other people have been through. I feel like I want to serve God when it's in my terms, when He does what I want, when I want, how I think He should do things. Now, if He waits just a minute, then I feel like He's not listening to me. How many people have ever felt in their life like God wasn't listening to you? Every time I felt like God wasn't listening to me, guess what? I wasn't doing like I was supposed to be doing. Still, He heard my cries. Still, He heard my prayers. Still, He seen my tears. But yet, it was up to me to get my life how it should be, to follow Him. You see, excuse me, I feel like God ought to do this for me, and do this for me, and do this for me. And when it comes time for me, what I should do for Him, I fail Him every day. I feel like, well, God, not right now. I'm tired. I want to watch TV, or I want to rest. You know I'm busy. I can't do this, or I can't do that. You know, it's time I start giving God excuses. It's time I quit coming up with excuses of why I can't do something. I tell my kids, you're never going to do something you tell yourself you can't. Katie does stuff with dance, and she said, well, I can't do this. I said, well, can you not do it, or you just don't want to do it? Because you got to push yourself to do things. I tell her in dance or in life in general, you're going to have to push yourself. And she's covering her head. But you got to push yourself at certain things. Some things just come natural to other people. Some things don't. You have to work. I work with a lot of good people. Some people look like they were born to do line work, and they just, man, they are just good at it. And I'm over there with everything I got as fast and hard as I could, not even holding a candle to them coming close. And I'm like, Lord of mercy. But you know what it done? It put a hunger in me that said, I'm not going to be the worst. I'm going to work as hard as I can. Well, it's the same way as a Christian. I'm going to quit coming up with excuses to God of why I can't do stuff. And I'm going to start telling Him yes and start telling Him why I can do things. Why can't I be used more, God? Use me more instead of less. Let me quit coming up with excuses to say no and come up with reasons I can say yes. Excuse me. Our lives have to match our faith. We want to tell people we're full of faith. Oh, I'm full of faith. You just call me if you need prayer. My life has got to match that. My life has got to match my faith because I've got to live the best I can for God. If I don't live for none of y'all, I've got to live for the teenagers who are expecting me. Because I got to be ready because I tell them, call me if you have any trouble. If you're struggling, if you're facing things in your life and you don't know who to go to, you can't go to your parents, you want prayer, call me. And if I'm not living my life how I should, if I'm being beat and being drugged away from the Word of God and I'm giving up because I'm going through a trial or I'm going through a situation or I'm facing things that I just see is too hard for my life and I give up, what kind of witness am I to the teenagers? What kind of witness am I to the children's church? What kind of witness am I to my own wife and my own children? Yes, it's hard sometimes to serve God. It's hard to hold strong. But sometimes God said, just stand. When you've done all you can, just stand. He ain't asking for no more. God will never ask you to give what you don't have. God will never ask you to give what you don't got. But He will ask you to step out and say, I'll provide this for you. I'll give you this. You just got to trust me. You got to step out and be willing to have that faith and have that life that will match that faith. All right, God, it may be hard. I may be struggling. I may be going through trials of my own, but if you want me to help somebody else, I'll go help them. Say yes to God. Watch Him change your life. Watch him just turn everything that you think is bad, everything that's just turmoil and destruction, watch Him turn it around. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's hard for Uncle Terry to keep getting bad news every day. But you know what I said? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of watching him having to struggle. There ain't nothing I can physically do for Uncle Terry. Lord knows I'm not a doctor, and I don't know what they got going on, but you know what? I know a doctor. I know the one that makes the body. And if he can make the body, he can heal the body. Excuse me. And if I've got away from the fasting and the praying and the seeking God to watch him move, then that's my fault. Maybe I'm the reason that he ain't been healed because I hadn't been living like I should. Maybe it's my fault people were struggling. Maybe it's my fault I'm struggling. We got to start living for God with all we got. We got to quit just wanting to only follow Him when it's convenient for us and wanting to follow Him only when I get a blessing from it. Because you see, the Bible teaches you. I feel like I've read so much lately and it's all just wants to come out. But we see in the Bible how God blesses people. And He says, if you'll do it in secret, I'll bless you openly. But we got a lot of people that want you to know how I've blessed others. Well, I've helped Sister Brenda, and I've helped Brother. I've done nothing. Excuse me. We got to start living for God. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. You see, God was asleep. He was resting, and he was tired. But I wonder, I tell you what, let's read the next one. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Let me ask you today, why are you so fearful? Why are we so fearful? Because we live in this flesh. And because we have so many people telling us so many different things that we don't understand and we don't know who to believe. I've had people tell me, I don't got a clue what to believe. I don't know what to believe. I said, well, I'll tell you what I stand on and what I believe. I believe in the Word of God. And if this virus comes and takes us all out, then it's the Lord's will. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to be with Him. That's the importance of living for Him. That's the importance why we should live for God. Because we don't know when it's going to be our last time. We don't know when we're going to breathe our last breath. So we got to hold on to God. We got to stand strong. But God said, why are you so fearful? These were not people who didn't know God. These were people who were following Him. They've seen what He can do. This was not non-believers. And that's what hit me. This is me. This is me crying out, God, do you not care about me? It's like, Tony, why are you so fearful? Have I not picked you up every time you fail? Have I not healed? Have I not delivered? Have I not moved? Have I not been with you when it was quiet and no one else was there? Have I not been with you when it was so loud that you feel like you didn't know what was going on? Have I not been with you through every time? So I said, Lord, why am I so fearful? Why am I? Why am I so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. And I tell you, it's because I hadn't lived for Him like I should. It's because I've not given my all to Him. I've asked for His all, and He gave it all on the cross. I've asked for it. He's give it. But I'm not willing to give it all to Him. I remember a thing we did, the brothers did one day, and Brother Jim, and I know I've talked about it before. You're blessed to get to hear it again. Brother Jim and Brother Eddie, we were at the kids' church, and Brother Jim was talking. And when he was first doing it, I was like, well, that's a pretty good idea. But it's like after he done it, it hit me with a ton of bricks. He told Brother Eddie, Brother Jim was God, and he told Brother Eddie, I want your car keys. I want your house. I want your wife, your children. And I want it all. And I was, at first I was like, well, where's he going with this? God's taking everything from him. God's taking everything from him. But then Brother Jim turned him and gave it all back to him. And Brother Jim said, God doesn't want to take everything away from you. God wants you to give Him everything you got so He can bless you in return. He's going to give it all back to you, and He's going to give it back tenfold what you think you got or what you think you can do. God's going to give it all back to you. And that's where I turned my fear. God, I don't want you to take my kids. God, I don't want you to take my wife. God, I don't want to give you this. I don't want to give you that. But when I get over all that and I give Him everything I got, then I see I've got more than I ever thought. I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in this old world. And this old world will pull us away if we'll let it. It don't matter. Like I tell the teenagers, you know the big things you got with drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it may be. But it's the little things that we don't think of, like hatred and anger, depression, anxiety that get inside us, and it's like a cancer and will eat and destroy our lives before we ever know it. Because I can hide all that from you. If I start on drugs and all, then you notice a change. You may know something's going on. But the anger and the hatred and just letting it come in and be like cancer and destroy me, I can hide all that from y'all because I can fake it for a couple hours on Sunday and a couple hours Wednesday and then go out and just be who I am. So we tell our teenagers, you got to be careful with that stuff because the devil can get in your mind, and if he can get that mind going and he can get you where you'll turn against somebody. He's got us to where now we hate people and don't even know why. We don't even know why we're fussing and arguing. We don't know why we can't stand them, but we just remember there's a time where we just couldn't stand them, so we're still not going to talk to them. Well, you know what? How about we just grow up? And how about we start getting past all this stuff and we start like the Bible says, if you can't forgive, then how can God forgive you? And I have to say, woe me on all of that. I have to be able to forgive. I have to be able to move past this stuff. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You understand that these storms come in. They come in, I'm sure in my mind, they went out on this ship and they come in quick and they come in heavy. They come in fast. Before we know it, Jesus, they can't find him. They're on a boat panicking, running around. Where's he at? We got these waves crashing. We got these things going on. I can't make this through this. I can't get through it, God. And he says, you little faith. And he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I'm here to tell you that if you're struggling, I don't care what it is, and it's none of my business, but if you're struggling with something tonight, there's a great calm coming. Uncle Terry, there's a great calm coming. There's a guy at my work. He's in his 20s. His wife's had a double mastectomy. She's facing breast cancer. They told me this week that his mom and dad both got COVID, a corona, whatever it's called, and they're both in the hospital. So I'm here to tell you there's a calm that's coming. If you got trials beating you down, you got struggles that are wearing you, tearing you down, if you got weights that are just pulling you down and you just cannot seem to break free, there's a calm that's coming. There's a calm that's coming on the horizon because I know who we need to get in touch with. I know who I need to pray to. I know who I need to fast. I know who I need to seek. And if I can let my life match my faith, then I tell you what, I'm going to see a mighty move of God. I'm going to see Him move in the church. I'm going to see Him move in my work. I'm going to see Him move in my home because I don't want to be a person that just can stand and say whatever. I don't care if nobody ever hears me, but as long as they see what I live, as long as they see the faith that I got, as long as they can see the God that I serve, what He can do. Because the devil's going to tell you He's not real. Give up. Give up. Don't give up. Hold strong to what you got. Because we are more than conquerors. I wrote down a few scriptures. We don't have to look them all up. John 14:18, it says, He will not leave us comfortless. John 15:5-7, it says, without me ye can do nothing. Ask what ye will. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us? Romans 36 says, we are killed all the day. 8:36, killed all the day long. 37:39 says, we are more than conquerors. You see, it's not like Christ come and He died and then He said, good luck with whatever's left, whatever comes your way. Good luck with whatever you got that's going on because I've died, I've done my part, and I've gone on. No, He said He'll send us a comforter. Sister Jennifer also sings a song that says, we got to praise the hurt away. You want to see God do some moving? Praise Him when you're struggling. Praise Him when you're hurting. Praise Him when you're laying in the hospital and they just keep prolonging things. Praise Him when you're laying there and you don't know what's going on. Praise Him when my dad had a stroke and they were saying he may have to have surgery and be shipped off. Praise Him anyways. You know why? Because they called right back and said, the doctor said, well, there's no need in him going anywhere else. I can see that a 3D scan turning around and his brain's fine. It's going to heal on its own. Tell me there's not a God when you start praising and you start worshiping. You can't tell me because I've seen it. I've seen Him move. I've seen Him deliver. I've seen Him heal. And I've seen Him touch. I've had family members pass away. That's part of life. Some too early, I thought. But God's got a plan. But if you can leave a testimony, when I'm dead and gone, it don't matter if people remember me or who I was. But if they can say, man, He sure did love God. He sure did try to give all He had to Him. I don't want to be a person who just talks about it. I want to be a person who lives it. There's going to be storms come your way. I wish we could have Paul here and talk to him a little bit about all the beatings and the stripes. And then you hear the, I forgot to look it up, but the one time when they were beat and said that they counted it joy. I'm not talking about they just endured it. They counted it joy to be beaten for the name of God. I'd be crying and whining and telling you whatever you wanted to know. Somebody started beating me. But they were beat and they counted it joy. Why? Because they knew what they had. There's so many people nowadays who are trying to lead you away. Christian is the easiest thing to say you are right now. It's easy to say you're a Christian and live however you want to live because you're covered under grace. The Bible teaches us completely different from that. Sister Jessica was talking about in Sunday school this morning. But everybody's so eager to be like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. They don't have a clue what the Word says. So it's time we start living for God. Because it's going to be times like when Uncle Terry is faced with trial after trial after trial after trial. You know what? He's being tested right now. I know he's going to overcome it. Because he's got a church family like this that's praying for him. And I didn't tell you this about Uncle Terry. And I didn't tell you this about the guy at work so that everybody would feel sorry for him. I told you this because I want you to put your armor on and I want you to start praying for them because they need us. They're being beaten. They're struggling. And they're being down. You can talk to Uncle Terry and he'll still tell you he knows the Lord's got a plan. And he knows God's taking care of him. And he told Bud he's got a testimony. He can't wait to get back to church. So I'm here to tell you, don't give up on God. Don't quit. When it seems fearful, when it seems hard, when it seems like you're struggling and there ain't no way out, don't give up. Don't quit because that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to throw the towel in. He wants you to walk away because he's got you and he's won. Don't do it. Hold strong. Hold strong. There's a verse I found the other day and I forgot it where it says, take hold with your weary hands. I know you're tired. I know some of you have faced battles that I've never seen, that I don't know nothing about. Hold strong to God, no matter what they are. Spiritual, physical, financial, I don't care what they are, because there's nothing too great for God. Hold on to God. Don't give up. And I believe, I don't even know if I said title, but it was, it's time to wait the Master. Because you see, just because he was sleeping in there didn't mean he didn't care. Just because you're facing trials and going through stuff don't mean he don't care for you. He loves you enough that he died on the cross for you. He loves you enough that he carried that cross and he carried our sins for us because he loved us so much. So don't think he don't love you. Don't think that he don't care for you. Don't think that he's going to give up on you. Because it's time we turn fear into freedom. Brother Kevin Parks is another one. That's faced a lot of health problems and struggles and the doctors can't figure stuff out. And y'all may say it ain't me, so that's why. But I ain't worried about it. Because I'm telling you, I'm tired of just talking about the life. It's time I start living it. It's time I start back up what I say. And I start praying. And I start fasting. And I start seeking God and see Him moving these people's lives. So if you will, as a church with me, let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's turn it up to a new level that we would glorify and honor Him. I know you may have trials and troubles of your own. I'm not saying nobody's here praying for them. I'm not saying that you're not important just because your trials may not be as big as those. Because your trials are just important. You are just, you see where he told Ananias that he is a chosen vessel unto me. Well, I feel the same way. That is what God said about every one of us. You are a chosen vessel unto him. He loved us enough to die for us. He loves us enough for us to live for him. He loves us enough that we should follow him and seek him, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't give up. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. And I know you're struggling. In the middle of the night when you feel like you don't got nobody, what did Brother Eddie say? God don't sleep. He's sitting there and he's ready. And you know what? You may go through these trials for a couple weeks and a couple months, but that's all right. Hold strong and don't let go, because God has still got you. That master, just because them waves was coming, don't mean he ever give up. He already knew what was going to happen. If you would all please stand. I'm not real good with altar calls, stuff like that, but if you're struggling tonight, if you've had trials, if you feel like the devil's beat you down and wore you down and trying to tear you down, this altar's open.
Yes.
This altar's open for you to get prayer. This altar's open for brothers and sisters to pray with you, to pray for you. One thing I've always loved about this church is it's one of them zones that it don't matter who you are, how much money you got, how much money you don't have, God don't care.
Amen.
And we're here to seek God.
Amen.